Hey guys, welcome back to Defining Truth Podcast, episode 51. Today, we're breaking down an article by Chris Hedges, titled The Purge of the Deep State and the Road to Dictatorship. He claims that Trump's second term will lead to authoritarianism, dismantling democracy, and turning the U.S. into a dictatorship, which it seems like he already said. The author argues that Trump's war on the deep state isn't about reform, but about consolidating power, purging government agencies. A little bit true there. Stacking the courts and suppressing dissent. Sounds exactly like what the left does. They compare his actions in the article to Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia, and Iran's revolution, saying that if people don't resist, democracy as we know it will collapse. But is this really the case? Or is it just another round of political fear-mongering? We'll break down these claims one by one, challenge the narrative, and look at whether Trump's actions are actually unprecedented or just part of the normal shifts that happen when a new administration takes over. Let's get into it. All right, welcome back. Well, if you didn't check out the last episode, episode 50, you should go listen to it. Did a very interesting breakdown. Brandon and I discussed Ukraine and the history behind the current conflict. That's episode 50. You can watch it on YouTube or listen anywhere you get your podcast. Apple, Spotify, etc. But today is episode 51, and I'm here with my co-host Brandon Jones. Brandon, how are you?
Good. Good to see you.
So we're going to get into this article. Brandon, you brought this up. You read the article, suggested that we go through it. This guy, Chris Hedges, is widely respected on the left, right? I'm learning. This whole article is absolutely preposterous. I mean, it is Trump deranged syndrome at its best. But the irony, and I'd like listeners to kind of keep this in mind as we go through, the irony is that what they're accusing Trump of doing is exactly what they did and have done and continue to do throughout the United States. And we're going to talk about that because we're going to go through some of the main points of the article and give counter arguments to what he suggested. But then we're also going to take a look at some real world examples of how the left has become progressive Marxist here in the United States and how they're actually doing all the things that they accuse President Trump and Republicans of doing. So let's get into some of the main article points here real quick.
Yeah. So like you said, this author made a ton of claims. There's 10 claims that we're going to try to go through quickly and precisely. The first one being that Trump's war on the deep state is not about restoring democracy. That's his first claim. Right. He says that Trump's not fighting for freedom. Rather, he's consolidating power by removing oversight and accountability, and that the deep state exists, which of course we know, but what replaces it will somehow be worse. And he calls it unchecked executive control. So a couple questions to counter his argument, right? Reforming government isn't a coup. Every president since George Washington, or maybe not George Washington because he picked them, but every president after him has replaced officials and reshaped agencies based off their administration's policies. So my question to you is, what's the difference between Trump restructuring government and any CEO in America streamlining a company? And then the deep state with these unelected bureaucrats that have too much power, which we know, of course, is a real issue, and limiting it can actually strengthen democracy.
Yeah, those are great points. So first, you're 100% correct that every president has done this. I mean, I recall Obama taking over and radically dismantling institutions all across the country. If I recall correctly, President Obama at the time fired more military generals than any U.S. president in history before him. So, you know, the hypocrisy meter here is through the roof with these liberals. You're right that in comparing it to an organization, right? What this administration is doing now is efficiently cleaning up something that doesn't work. And as, you know, has been discussed at length, that is a mandate given to President Trump and this administration by the American people. American citizens were sick of the status quo of the swamp and the bureaucracies and the miles of red tape and how dysfunctional and wasteful everything was in the U.S. government. So when you hear these far left progressives squealing about Trump cleaning things up, all he's doing is carrying out the orders of the American people. way too much power in bureaucracies. And that's not even arguable. So, yeah, the claim is absolutely ridiculous and very hypocritical.
Yeah, so then going into the next one, Trump's government purge mirrors authoritarian regimes, according to him. He says that the firing of inspector generals and the reshaping of federal agencies is comparable to Nazi Germany.
That's a good one.
Soviet purges and Iran's revolution, and that the courts and the media initially resist, but will eventually succumb to Trump's restructuring. First and foremost, I don't know how anybody can claim that a country that is quote unquote in the Western world is anywhere near the atrocities that we saw from some of these communist governments in the 20th century. I mean, they killed, reports of over 100 million people, even higher than that. So comparing Trump to Hitler, Stalin, or Iran's revolution, like you mentioned, is just absurd. Those regimes, like I said, executed their political opponents, which Trump has not done. They shut down all dissent, which Trump has not done. We'll get into how he hasn't done that. And they ruled with absolute power. So my question to you is, would a dictator have done the following thing, done or allowed the following things? Trump faced opposition from the courts, including judges that he appointed himself. He's had pushback from Congress, including Republicans, especially in his first term. And then he left office in 2021. Does that sound like something that a dictator would do?
Yeah, I mean, it's again, the irony is, and hypocrisy, I should say, is staggering. It's staggering. So when Trump changes, cabinet positions, it's tyranny and Nazism. But when the far left Democrats do it, it's American democracy. Let's be very clear about what's occurring. Their side lost. And they're squealing like petulant children because they're not getting their way. And I would say it's even deeper that it's not that they're not only not getting their way, it's that it's hit them where it hurts the most, their pocketbooks. What Trump is doing is also doing away with a tremendous amount of waste, fraud, and abuse. And that undoubtedly is the source of a lot of this squealing and hate mongering and name calling, et cetera. Because they can't justify their existence, nor are they have they ever been accountable to the American people for how much money they've wasted. As we know, Doge, for example, has uncovered billions of dollars in absolute waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, warehouses under nonprofit organizations being paid $400 million, and the warehouses were empty. That's one ridiculous example. Or USAID funding terrorist organizations in multiple different ways. I mean, it's horrifying how bad they took advantage of the American people. They have abused the trust. And when I say they, I mean the Democrats. And really, their whole narrative is they don't like America. So their goals are now interrupted. We're impeding them because all we're doing is returning to what America really was and our values, right? It's the whole Make America Great Again deal. And they're just so upset about it. I guess all they have to do is call you a Nazi. But again, it's the hypocrisy is that they are the ones acting like far left, regimes. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But
yeah. So then there's also the issue of the packing of the courts. And he says that Trump is targeting federal agencies, replacing non-loyalists in the FBI, Homeland Security, the intelligence agencies. They say that, or what I should say is that every president appoints judges and replaces federal employees. That's their right as president.
Yes.
Some administrations go as far to even beg Supreme Court justices that are at the end of their lives to step down so they can get another appointee in there. With a Supreme Court that's ruled against Trump multiple times in his first term, like we've mentioned, would it really be... Is it a correct claim on behalf of the author to claim that there's really this purge going on, or is this just kind of run of the mill for a president to do?
Well, like you said, again, they're not doing anything different than any other administration before them. Their side lost and they're angry about it. What we're really seeing exposed is how entrenched their power was in bureaucracies, how they had weaponized, like we're going to go into in a minute, weaponized government agencies. And Trump is dismantling that by removing those key players and replacing them with people who are pro-America, pro-U.S. Constitution, pro-democracy, real democracy, not the far-left progressive Marxist definition of it. And they're upset because we are now hitting back at years and years of work turmoil that they've caused here, convincing Americans to hate themselves and hate their own country and hate our own way of life and hate our culture. I mean, that's all it is just hatred from the left. And even, you know, as we can get into on a different time, but they've done that. They've convinced the church, Christians in the United States. You have churches that have bought into the definitions from the progressive Marxists, like on what is love and what is kindness and how we should treat people. All things that we know from a biblical perspective, they've been infiltrated by progressive Marxists who have gotten churches to validate their terminology. Well, and they did the same thing in the U.S. education system. They did it in all government agencies, et cetera, et cetera. So now the reversal of that, you know, they're calling it, you know, a dictatorship, and it's just, it's ridiculous. They're not doing anything out of the normal, specifically on the packing courts and targeting federal agencies is something that every administration does. That's the game of politics. Yeah.
Well, great. So then we have this, Project 2025 and the unitary executive theory. And to be honest, I'm not well-versed on Project 2025. I know that everybody on the left loved to hit Trump over this Project 2025 claim, but the author claims that think tanks like the Heritage Foundation are preparing a legal framework for total executive control, and that Project 2025 aims to replace tens of thousands of government employees with Trump loyalists. Actually, I think they're planning on getting rid of tens of thousands of government employees and not replacing them. And that this unitary executive theory would allow Trump to bypass Congress and consolidate power. So, really, if Trump is being criticized, and I feel like it's almost silly because these questions are a little bit repetitive, but it just goes to show the lunacy of these authors' claims. If Trump's being criticized for using executive power, why aren't Biden and Obama held to the same standard?
Yeah.
And then should presidents have more control over the federal government, or does that pose a risk?
Well, the irony is all someone on the conservative side figured out was exactly what the left have done. They managed to infiltrate every aspect of American culture, bureaucracies, government at every level. Starting, you know, at the very bottom levels of the education system all the way on up, they groomed an entire generation to be progressive. And, you know, so your claim to me where, like, you're upset because you think the other side is going to try to get people to love their country again, and you call that, you know, the unitary executive theory, get out of here. These people are clowns. They're not serious. Like Trump just said in an interview, these people are sick. I mean, it's true. There is something about it that is like a mental illness. You have fully flung yourself into delusion about the world, about reality around you, about society. And it really shows here in this article where you are accusing your opponent of doing everything you're doing. Sound familiar? Any students of history will know that is Marxism 101.
Yeah, absolutely. And then here again, we go back to this comparison to Nazi Germany and the Bolshevik purges, right? He claims that Trump's Schedule F executive order removes job protections for civil servants. And he compares that quite literally in his article to like how Nazis purged Jews and their political opponents, and that the goal is to gut oversight and install unwavering loyalists across the federal government. So how is Trump's Schedule F executive order different from Nazis or the Soviet purges? I think that's pretty simple. And is it misleading to compare bureaucratic firings to genocide and political executions that happened in the 20th century?
I mean, again, are you like, you know, somebody needs to write this guy and check on his mental health status. I mean, you'd have to be off mentally to seriously imply that the Republican administration trying to clean up all the waste, fraud, and abuse in this country is somehow equal to the Nazis going after Jews. I mean, are you out of your mind? Talk about gaslighting. But you notice the same spirit across the entire globalist movement. This is the same type of attitude and accusations that you see, like, from Palestinians, right, who went across by the thousands on October 7th and murdered and raped thousands of innocent Israeli citizens, women, children, babies murdered with their bare hands. And then they'll turn around and be like, Israel's so mean to us. You know, we're being genocided when clearly they were not. And 80% of the population there supported. Now, I say that because it's the same type of argument. Here you have an American progressive Marxist who's only recourse is to accuse the opponents of doing exactly what he's doing, or, you know, even going farther and demonizing your opposition, which is another thing that the Bolsheviks did and the far left National Socialist in the Nazi Party did. They're doing what those people did. So it's just, it's mind blowing that anybody believes this nonsense.
Yeah. Well, and then of course you have the topic of Elon Musk, who's been another big target of the left and this author as well, right? Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, better known as Doge, they say is centralizing government data. Doge has requested IRS records and Social Security data, which could be, they say, weaponized for political purposes. And then of course, Musk's X money could merge social media, AI, and financial tracking, creating a digital control system. But why is Elon Musk being singled out, but Amazon, Google, and George Soros, like, that was okay? I mean, George Soros literally had his hand in every major, and probably even beyond that, every major district attorney's race in America.
Now his son,
especially in Southern California. And they say that Musk is controlling government speech. The guy spent $70 billion on a social media platform to basically open it up, and you're now allowed to say, like, literally, quite literally, whatever you want. So I'm confused as to how people are uncomfortable with who controls the data rather than the fact that data is being collected in the first place. I mean, isn't that what they should be concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, and they fail to mention that Elon Musk also holds the record as a philanthropist for having given the most money ever in human history towards causes like bipartisan issues like education and the furtherance of clean energies and things like that. So, you know, it really doesn't matter how good of a person you are, because the left doesn't deal in the realm of truth or reality. They deal in hateful ideologies, and that kind of drives everything they do.
Yeah, this one's going to be right up your alley. So Trump's revoked security clearances from Biden, Blinken, and former military leaders. And, you know, he's barred some media, hostile media outlets from White House coverage. And the list of enemies, they say, will expand as more people realize they've been betrayed. So is revoking a security clearance from former officials really an attack on democracy? And are there any instances of the Biden administration, I know the answer to this, limiting press access to certain outlets? And then if Trump was really suppressing dissent, wouldn't CNN, MSNBC, and the New York Times just be completely shut down? I mean, I don't understand why he would allow those to exist if he was, not shutting down their dissent.
Yeah. I mean, this is another asinine, hypocritical claim here, because let's put some context here around this. What actually happened, right? There's the squealing Marxist on the news, on, you know, Rachel Maddow show or wherever they go now. And then there's reality. And you have to remember that those two are not the same. Okay, so what really happened, right? Well, let's remember, under the Biden regime, we had collusion, right, of big tech and government, which worked together to censor dissenting voices on things like COVID, elections, cultural issues, like Hunter Biden laptop story suppression or the COVID lab leak theory. Okay, that happened. Like, we watched that. We as an American citizens watched that with our own eyes. We watched them do the things that they're claiming Trump is doing. Or how about Department of Homeland Security's Disinformation Governance Board? Something right out of, Orwell novel. A literal attempt to create a government-backed truth ministry. Every dystopian regime, in every dystopian regime, control of information is absolutely essential. And when the government defines truth, freedom dies.
So another topic is that Trump's agenda will dismantle checks and balances within the government. So agencies, this author claims, like the Federal Reserve and the FEC, will lose their independence. Mass deportations, nationalist education policies, and cutting social programs will create a system of control. It's ironic that they're okay with everything else being controlled by the federal government, except for suddenly the education policies being nationalistic is a problem for them. And then corporate elites will exploit the powerless under Trump. So my question to you is, are mass deportations and things like national education policies really authoritarian, or are those just policy shifts with this incoming administration?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that all they are is policy shifts back towards taking care of your own people. I mean, what the left is really, what the author here in this article is really upset about is that control, because there's always control, right? So what he's claiming is control on the Trump administration side is actually giving control back to the American people. The American people wanted this. They chose this administration, and they gave a clear mandate. We do not want progressive Marxism. So the author isn't arguing with this administration. The administration is just carrying out the will of the people. The author is upset that there are citizens in this country that don't jump on the I hate America bandwagon.
Yeah, I think that's what he's really upset about. The Trump administration is dismantling everything that has allowed the left to sort of permeate their control for as long as they've had, right? So that goes right into his claim that the resistance will fail due to weak institutions, talking about the less resistance to Trump, right? He says that the media, which this is laughable, the media, academia, and labor unions, and the Democratic Party, he says, are too weak to stop Trump. So this guy is like to the left of left, and that America is repeating the same pattern of past authoritarian regimes. So I don't understand how in a system of government like the United States has, where there's so much, I mean, even to just change a constitutional amendment, not only do you have to have a majority in both houses, Congress, the House and the Senate, plus then you need to get 75% of states on board to also pass that. Don't blue states like California and New York sort of provide a counterweight to Trump's policies? I mean, we're seeing that with Newsom in California right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, is these people are delusional, because remember reality versus the claims, right? You see this on social media a lot, where you'll see some crazy far left Democrats and they're squealing about, you know, Trump is stealing my freedoms. You know, I hear that a lot on social media. But when you actually stop and say, what are you talking about? Like, give me one example of systemic racism in the government. Give me one example of how Trump has stolen your freedom. They're blank. There is no answer. So let's compare that. Let's give this some context. Let's remember why this administration was just unanimously elected by the American people. Because what actually happened, again, under the Biden regime and previous administrations, what actually happened, if you recall, was the complete weaponization of federal agencies, a big push for class warfare and redistribution of wealth, and attacks on family and faith. And this is what people saw. And you want specific examples? How about the DOJ and FBI targeting political opponents? Raids on pro-life activists, parents labeled as domestic terrorists for opposing school boards and unequal application of the law? How about Trump investigations versus ignoring BLM and Antifa riots, things that I saw with my very own eyes? When government uses law enforcement to silence opposition, which is what the Democrats did, they have crossed the line into tyranny. This is straight from the playbook of an authoritarian regime. So it's, again, so hypocritical that this guy is claiming that's what Trump is doing, when Trump is actually the birth child of this tyrannical behavior under Democrats.
All right. So sort of to wrap this up, he gives a final warning at the end of his article, right? That dictatorship is inevitable unless resisted. So he calls, he claims that censorship and repression will expand, and that those who resist will become enemies of the state. And if people do not fight back, they'll become complicit in a system of radical evil, right? People on the left today, within their own echo chambers, like to paint this picture of like the German citizen during the Nazi rule who didn't step up and say anything, right? If you don't stand up against Trump, you're just like that German citizen back then. So to counter that, just for anybody out there who maybe is worried about, you know, you read this article and you're worried, you feel uneasy, right? There's a couple reassurances that we have, given that we live in, you know, the United States of America, right? Trump is constitutionally limited to two terms because of the 22nd Amendment. He will leave office in 2029.
Yeah.
Okay. The democratic process still remains intact, right? Citizens can elect new leadership in 2028, much like we did in 2024 and every election previously. That maintains the system of checks and balances. Historical evidence shows that peaceful transitions of powers, even after contentious administrations, highlight the resilience of U.S. democracy. And these alarmist predictions of dictatorship really overlook the institutional safeguards like the judiciary, the free press, and civil society that continues to function effectively even after a hotly contested presidential election.
Yeah, I mean, I think the scary part about what we're talking about is that is guys like this author, right? Like, these claims they're out of their mind, and they've reached dangerous levels, because what we're seeing today isn't just partisan politics. It's a dangerous shift towards socialism and this dystopian control that we did see under the Biden regime. I mean, I mentioned a few, like, you know, the weaponization of federal agencies and what the DOJ was busy with, and, you know, attacks on faith and family, like aggressive promotion of gender ideology and CRT in schools and targeting faith-based organizations. Anyone who opposed progressive policies, all of a sudden you're a bigot and a racist. And I mean, they systematically attempt to dismantle the nuclear family, eroding religious freedom like we saw in California and churches under the COVID nonsense, confusing little children about basic biological facts. These are all key steps in destabilizing a free society. It actually, they mirror the tactics used by communist revolutions. And yeah, this administration is going to end. So now is the time to educate and get a hold of the culture, because all of these battles are won at the culture war level, right? As we all know, life is short, right? There's a cycle here. And the left has very successfully targeted the younger generation through the education system. And they're raising good, loyal little socialists that then go to college. And then those college students get jobs, as we've discussed here on the show. They go into the intelligence community and government bureaucracies, and they run for office. And all the, it seems that conservatives, at least, you know, recently, have woken up to this fact, and we're now counterattacking to protect our way of life and the American freedoms as we know them. The left, though, has made no secret of their goals. All that stuff I'm just talking about, they're very open about it, and they're furiously dedicated. They're religiously devoted. They're zealots, you might say, to their leftist secular humanist ideology.
Yeah, the last thing I want to say about this before we move into our next, because I think we're going to talk about Mahmoud Khalil and his deportation. I came across this article. I read it. It had a catchy title. Obviously, we went through and dissected it, you know, pretty thoroughly. But again, for anybody who I want to kind of just say to this author, like, you have all of these worries. You make all of these claims about Trump being a dictator. But the very fact that you were able to write this article and publish it on Substack, and that you're not dead or in jail or executed, yeah, proves that all of your claims are false. Trump probably doesn't even know who this guy is, no, even though he is a sort of well-respected Pulitzer Prize winning author. So he's not just a nobody, right? It's not like, you know, I didn't write an article like this, right? He has some statute to him. But the fact that he was able to write it just goes to show that all of his fears and worries are sort of just laughable. Because if he would have been a German citizen in Nazi Germany and wrote stuff like this against Hitler, he would have been jailed or executed, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So,
or in any of the countries in the world that currently live out the things that the left wants, like, yeah, North Korea, or, you know, the Islamic Republic of Iran. I mean, or communist China, where they do have total control over society. That's what the left is aiming for in their globalist, progressive Marxist, you know, goals. Yeah, very scary. I mean, I think just on a closing note to that section, it's really important that we get a hold of your current, you know, 14-year-olds, because in 4 years, they're going to be voting, like we've discussed here many times. It'll be their first time voting. And we have the next 4 years to make an impact. And this is a call to action for you as an American citizen, if you're listening, and also to the churches and those in leadership, to speak truth. Stop validating the terms of the enemy. The church, we have the word of God as a litmus test, as a guide, as a light to our path. It is all sufficient. It is all we need. We do not need the Democrats to come in and tell us about life or society, or, you know, actually your opinions about Jesus are, you know, racist or bigoted. Why did the church ever allow that into their doors? I'm not sure, but it was very effective. And the church has the potential to be a massive cultural impactor. And we were at one point in this country. And you know who knows that better than anyone? The left. Yeah. That's why they attack faith and family as much as they do. And let's not forget that, you know, under the last administration, you had tremendous amount of attacks on faith and family. You had, you know, what I mentioned before, like CRT and targeting faith-based organizations and dismantling the nuclear family. I mean, these are all right out of the communist playbook, and they're very open about it. So it's time to wake up and kick in and get to work.
Yeah. So let's move into this Mahmoud Khalil, arrest and deportation, right? For those that don't know, real quick, Khalil is a Palestinian activist. He's a recent graduate of Columbia. He was picked up by ICE on March 8th, and the Department of Homeland Security alleges that Khalil led activities aligned with Hamas, a designated terrorist organization, which is what led to his arrest. So his attorney contends that his arrest is unlawful and attempted to suppress political speech, asserting that his involvement in pro-Palestinian activity falls under constitutionally protected free speech. So what sort of counter that as to, or give your opinion on to what this is.
So here's the bottom line with Mahmoud Khalil. Anyone here in the U.S. under a visa or residency status is here conditionally. That's the key word. That means if you break U.S. laws or participate in terrorist affiliated activities, your right to be here is over, period. Now, Khalil was arrested because of alleged ties to Hamas-related activities. And while the left is losing their minds over this, let's be clear, you don't get to be a guest in this country and support terrorist organizations. See, the last administration was totally cool with that.
Yeah,
we had members of Congress supporting these violent murderers in Palestine. So here's what makes us even crazier. You guys have heard of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. So they're now defending Khalil. But let's remember, CARE itself, the organization, was named an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terror funding trial in U.S. history, the Holy Land Foundation case, which you can look up and read more about. It was linked to Hamas. So now a terror-tied organization is going after Columbia University. They're suing them, one of the most far-left institutions in the country, for allegedly cooperating with law enforcement. This is a perfect example of what happens when radicalism turns on itself. And it's a wake-up call for all of us to recognize there's dangerous alliances being formed right here on American soil. They were planted and rose to bear fruit in the last administration extensively. Never before in American history did we see the open call and support for terrorist organizations across college campuses in the United States of America. And the Democrats still to this day, Chuck Schumer's defending this guy. They're still defending these insane violent murderers and activities that support them when this administration had every right to do what they did. In fact, those are not laws that Trump wrote. Those are existing U.S. laws. If you are supporting a designated terrorist organization and you're here on a visa or residency card or special permission, you're done. That's not something that has to do with Trump. The difference is the last administration simply was not enforcing existing laws. They were purposefully cloward pivoting the United States, as we've discussed, like the open borders, like the tolerance of terrorism across college campuses. And it cost the American people millions upon millions of dollars and lots of suffering for their foolish delusions. So yeah, Mahmoud Khalil, adios. Have a safe trip back to, I don't even know where that guy's from, but he ain't going to be from here. All right. Well, I think that's about all we have for today. If you guys would do us a favor and share the episode, if you're listening, with at least, you know, one or two people, that'd be great. It helps us get the word out. Tune in and watch us in person on YouTube, or you can also check us out on the Real Life Network, RLN, and they have an app. It's pretty cool. You can tune into Defining Truth as well as a bunch of other super cool content, etc. And remember, truth is worth defining. Until next time, keep doing it.